Crossover Thursday at the Locked On Podcast Network. Patricia Traina joins me from the Locked On Giants podcast to discuss Week 18 Washington football team at New York Giants. Let's go.
You are Locked On Washington football team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On the Washington football team with the Locked On Washington football team podcast. I'm David Harrison, writer over at SI.com's Fan Nation. My co-host Chris Russell, part of the Russell and Medhurst show on the Team 980, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is off for today's episode because it is Crossover Thursday. We thank you for making this show your first listen every day. I am now joined by Patricia Traina of the Locked On Giants podcast to preview this weekend's Washington football team matchup.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the crossover segment of the Locked On Giants podcast and the Locked On Washington football team podcast. Patricia Traina here with you, and David Harrison, co-host of Locked On Washington football, is with me. And folks, we have made it to the end of the regular season, a disappointing season, not just for the Giants, but also for the Washington football team, the defending or the old defending NFC East champions, not even in the playoffs this year. And David, it's just been one heck of a season, I think, for both of our teams.
Yeah, it's one of those chapters, I think, that both sides are going to be happy to kind of put an end to coming here in this game. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, really, as it relates to the 2021 NFL season, this game really doesn't matter, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But I think both fan bases, obviously the media members and the teams themselves, really what this is going to do is kind of launch us into the next step for each franchise and what's going to happen moving forward. I think, I mean, Patricia, we probably already have our opinions, right? I think you already probably know, like Daniel Jones, like you probably know what you want the Giants to do or think they should do with Daniel Jones, just like Chris and I do with Taylor Heinicke, Kyle Allen, the quarterback situation. So more so, it's just the teams getting more film on some of the players maybe that they need more film on, reassuring some things they already assume. And then then we kick off into the offseason and start talking battle plans for free agency re-signings in the NFL draft.
Right. Now, you know, I want to start off by talking, you know, just a little different here. First, I want to talk about how Washington has changed personnel-wise since the Giants first saw them in week two. And then I kind of want to spin ahead a little bit because you're right. This game, I don't think a lot of people, maybe outside of the players and coaches, care about how this game turns out. But give us an update on some of the biggest changes in personnel from week two to here we are in week 18.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll start with maybe the positive, I guess, that Taylor Heinicke isn't a first-time regular season starting quarterback. Now he's got some experience under his belts. Honestly, hasn't looked a whole lot better. There have been spurts and stretches of time that he's looked a lot better. I think, you know, when we saw them play the New York Giants the last time, we saw Taylor Heinicke kind of being allowed to stretch the field a little bit more, and they kind of allowed him to take shots more often. I think now what we're seeing is really Scott Turner in the offense in Washington has really kind of asked Taylor Heinicke to shorten up the passing game, take the checkdowns a lot more often, more designed intermediate type passes. But we've also seen them moving the pocket a little bit more in the most recent weeks. Not as much as kind of I would prefer them to, but I think that if they had an inkling that Taylor Heinicke was the quarterback of their future, maybe we would see more movement, you know, by design. But at the same time, as an offense coordinator, designer of an offense, do you really want to make wholesale changes to your offense to accommodate an athletic quarterback when that athletic quarterback isn't necessarily going to be the guy in the future? So it's a little bit of a give and take there. On the defensive side of the ball, I think the most important, obviously the biggest thing that stands out is the absence of Chase Young. He's not going to be on the field. Montez Sweat may or may not be. Honestly, at this point, I don't expect Montez to play. I think that, you know, he missed last week because of the death of his brother. He's still dealing with, you know, all the fallout of that and obviously being there for his family and taking his time to mourn. At this point in time, I kind of think if you're Montez Sweat looking from the outside in, it's just better off if you just stay home, focus on your family, focus on what you have to do as a brother who just lost his sibling and go from there. So probably losing both of those guys. Now, with that, of course, you've had some other guys step in those roles, but it's actually gotten a little bit better up front because instead of kind of freelancing as much as maybe Chase Young specifically was doing early on in the season. These guys who are coming in who are less known, they're not, you know, number one overall picks for their team in an NFL draft. They're coming in, they're just kind of doing their job and doing what their coaches are asking them to do, which in part is actually making the scheme work a little bit better. And then finally, I think Cole Holcomb, the linebacker there for Washington, has made a lot of improvement over the course of the year. So the Cole Holcomb, not that he was bad the last time the Giants saw him, but I think that when this Giants offense studies Cole Holcomb specifically, they're going to realize that they're getting a much improved linebacker versus the last time they saw him.
When you look at Washington, I mean, I know where the Giants kind of went downhill, but what was kind of the turning point that just sunk the Washington football team season?
Honestly, I think it's the injury to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I mean, there's no telling necessarily how much better the team would have been with Ryan Fitzpatrick, with him versus without him. But you look at that Los Angeles Chargers game alone, you know, Taylor Heineke having to come in to replace an injured starter and some of the things that come along with that, not being prepared as a starter all week long. I know every backup says they prepare to start, you know, no matter what, but the reps in practice are important and the way that the offense is designed is important. And granted, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a little bit more mobile than I think people gave him credit for, but a much better passer, especially down the field as far as arm strength and accuracy are concerned, and much more fluid in his decision-making process than young, inexperienced Taylor Heineke is. So you go through the first part of the season before the bye week, and you have games against the Kansas City Chiefs, games against the Green Bay Packers, the Denver Broncos, and that Los Angeles Chargers games that I think if you have smarter and better quarterback play, Washington can win that game. And the defense wasn't playing up to snuff to begin with, but I think with a more well-rounded quarterback performance, you have the ability to potentially make up for some of those mistakes and some of those errors. So as the team was going through the first part of the season, as Taylor Heineke was going through some of those growing pains, it was costing them as the defense also tried to get their feet under him. And then coming out of the bye, if you have, again, Ryan Fitzpatrick with now a half a season's worth of experience with his receivers, then you have your defense starting to click a little bit better, starting to play a little bit better together, then that's where you have the opportunity. I mean, we saw it at the end of the season. Washington was still in the seventh seed as late as week, I think, 13, so could have had the opportunity. I really think that having Ryan Fitzpatrick in there versus Taylor Heineke like they planned really makes all the difference in the world. And then Curtis Samuel, the free agent from Carolina that they brought in to really kind of help stretch the field with Terry McLaurin on the other side. They never really got that 1-2 punch going. Now Curtis is dealing with a hamstring injury. I don't expect him to play in this final week either. So really it's an entire season where your starting quarterback and your number two wide receiver that you planned on having being an integral part of this offense was absent. And when you talk about degrading an offense that badly on a team that was designed to rely on defense anyway, that takes your offense from being, you know, a B, maybe a B minus level offense to a C plus at best. And that's just not going to get it done.
Now, a little bit of intrigue, I think, with this weekend's game. Joe Judge, I think everybody has heard about his 11-minute soliloquy defending the program. And in that speech, he mentioned, without mentioning the Washington football team, he mentioned how you don't see fist fights going on the sidelines and so forth. You know, whether that was a direct jab at Washington, who had such an incident break out, or, you know, just something he just threw out there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just something, it was a reference. How is Washington taking that? I mean, what's the response there? I know we had Ron Rivera on a conference call today, and Ron was just kind of, you know, hey, you know, he kind of brushed it off. I'm not paying attention. You know, I find it interesting, but I'm not really paying attention to it. But how are the players responding to something like that? Because it can be a jab. It probably was a jab without meaning to be one, but you could see why it would be a jab.
More to come on this Crossover Thursday episode between Patricia Traina and I, covering the Giants and Washington football team matchup. And we're going to do so thanks to our friends over at Bet Online, who would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering action in 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile site. Sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait. Take advantage of everything available in this new year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. It could be. I mean, you know, I don't know Coach Judge obviously as well as you do, so if you err on the side that he probably was taking a veiled jab, I'm going to trust your word. When I heard it, I honestly looked at it as a head coach who was under fire. He's taking a lot of scrutiny himself, having to defend a lot of his actions, his team's actions, and basically just kind of reaching for some of the cliche, well, it could be worse type of situations. Maybe it is a jab, maybe it's not. I like that Ron Rivera used the word interesting, because when Coach McCarthy straight up called out the Washington football team, like, I guess give the Dallas Cowboys a little bit of credit. He straight up said, we're going to beat the Washington football team. He didn't leave any room for interpretation. Ron said the same thing. It's interesting, but it's not important, because at the end of the day, the coaches don't go out there and play the game. The coaches aren't the one between the lines having to take the punishment for what's said and what's not said. And I think for the Washington football team, I don't honestly think anybody's going to get too stirred up about what Coach Judge said, even if that was in direct reference to them, because again, internally, they hash that out themselves. They know why it happened. They know what led to it, and they know how they're going to go forward. You know, Jonathan Allen kind of brushed it off. Deron Payne said, you know, brothers fight, and that's just kind of what brothers do sometimes. Those two guys have been playing football for a very, very long time. If it was a relationship that couldn't be mended or needed mending, you would know it by now, and I don't think they would probably be playing next to each other anymore the way that they are. So I don't think the inside the locker room really is going to carry any weight. I think they're all to a man. They all have much more motivation coming into this weekend than what Coach Judge is going to give to them. But I did find it funny, Patricia, that Coach Judge, who doesn't have his players fighting on the sideline, but he did have his players fighting in training camp with his starting quarterback at the bottom of the scrum, is bold enough to call out another team potentially for having a swing thrown once in the season. So, I mean, it was a little bit of the kettle or the pot calling the kettle black, I thought, and I thought that was interesting. But I took it more as Coach Judge just, I mean, trying to stay afloat in New York.
That's a good point. I don't think anybody's brought that up because it was so long ago. So good point.
I'm petty like that. I remember that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And Joe was really miffed up. You know, he was ticked off about that. I mean, if you were standing there, you had to cover your ears, because what was coming out of his mouth was like, oh my gosh, it was bad. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a prude here, but it was pretty, pretty bad. But anyway, final question from me. With really nothing to play for but pride, you know, and how many times have we heard it on the Giants side here? But what are your expectations for this game from both teams?
You know, it's hard because you know the guys that are on the field are going to go out there trying to win again. And I've said it on my show a lot. I know fans are always looking for draft picks at this point in time in the season, unfortunately. But, you know, these players aren't going to go out there and absorb a car accident's worth of punishment to lose and potentially work themselves out of a job through a draft pick. You know what I mean? They're going to go out there and they're going to put the best tape on field, because even if they're not, if their future is not with the Giants or with Washington, their future could be with somebody else. And this game, they have the opportunity to go out there and show something that could convince another coaching staff to give them a chance moving down, moving further down the line. And then for other players, I mean, Terry McLaurin, you know, he's 40 yards away from 1,000 yards. That would be back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for him in his young career. He'd be the first Washington receiver to net back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons since the mid-90s, which is amazing to me. Jonathan Allen is a sack and a half away from his first double-digit sack season. So, I mean, there are individual reasons why these guys want to go out there and play. I would really expect the coaching staff, if these veteran players really want to go out there and play, like Terry McLaurin, you know, he's, again, 40 yards from 1,000 yards. If he gets that 40, 41, maybe 45, I'd like to see him sit him. He's the future of your franchise. He's your number one wide receiver. Let him get his milestone, but then, you know, put him on the bench and say, hey, you know, start planning your vacation if you need to. Let's keep you healthy for 2022. Jonathan Allen, you know, same thing. I'm not sure a sack and a half is real. I'd probably give him a half of the game. And you know, by that end of that first half, if it's just not happening, you're just not getting home, you've already got a career high 8.5 sacks. Let's go ahead. Let's pull the plug. Let's keep you healthy. Things like that. Same thing with guys like Deron Payne, who, you know, has some effort issues from time to time, but I think, you know, he's part of your future. Kendall Fuller, same thing. Cole Holcomb. Really, I want to see the team get the guys who need to prove something out on the field. Tim Settle is a free agent potentially. So there's an argument for put him on the field more and see what he is, to see if you want to keep him. But at the same time, he's a free agent. So you put him on the field too much and he ends up pricing himself out of Washington during the offseason. I would like to see them again, protect their stars, protect the keystone players you know that you have. Let some of the guys who out there go out there who need to kind of prove themselves a little bit and do a little bit of evaluation. That's how I would approach it. Ron Rivera, the way he's talking, I kind of get the sense they want to go out with a win. They want to leave the fans. They want to leave themselves with a good taste in their mouth. They want to end the Washington football team chapter of this franchise with a victory, since they couldn't win their last home game as the Washington football team. They want to win this one. So I feel like I'm going to be a little bit disappointed in that. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite the future in the butt or the franchise.
And just real quick, you know, there's this is a historical moment. This is the last game Washington is playing as the Washington football team. They are going to announce a new team name that they have chosen for the February 2nd. What do you think that name's going to be? Have you heard anything as to what that name's going to be?
No, I haven't heard anything. And as far as I know, the people that I talked to who are more tapped in with this team haven't heard anything either. If they are, they're keeping the secret very well. Patricia, okay. I feel like it's going to be Commanders. I hate that name for a host of reasons that Giants fans don't want to hear about, so I won't get too deep into it. Out of the available names, because Red Wolves and Wolves have been eliminated, I would prefer Red Tails, which goes back to the World War II Tuskegee Airmen fighter pilot group. They were nicknamed the Red Tails, and I'm kind of, you know, confirmation bias, right? The Red Tails, again, were fighter pilots in World War II. The new name and logo is getting unveiled on 2/2/22. I don't know. Maybe there's some correlation there. Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm just reading into it a little bit more. But I prefer Red Tails. My gut says Commanders, and I'm not happy about it.
I think I had heard possibly Admirals, too.
Admirals? Which... Yeah, Admirals could make sense in the stars on the back of the jersey that they did show a picture of in the video came out. The problem with that is a 3-star in the Navy is a vice admiral. I mean, still admiral, I guess, but there's an actual admiral. An admiral in the Navy is a 4-star, so... having 3 stars on the jersey and then vice admiral. And again, the 3 stars could mean a host of things. Could be the 3 Super Bowl championships. It could represent the DMV. It could be that there's 3 stars on the Washington DC flag. It could be though, like it could be, you know, the fact that this is the 3rd iteration of a uniform for the franchise and team name since they moved to Washington. I mean, there are so many different things that those 3 stars could actually stand for. They may not have to do with the team name at all.
Well, I'll let you figure out that mystery while we on the Giants side figure out who might be our next GM. All right, folks, coming up, David's going to ask me about the Giants, but first got to tell you about Get Upside. If you buy gas, you've got to get the app Get Upside. Get up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up at the pump. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or on Google Play right now and use our promo code Touchdown when you sign up. And you will get an additional 25 cent bonus per gallon every time or on your first fill up. Excuse me. That's up to 50 cents cash back per gallon on your first fill up with that promo code Touchdown. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using the free Get Upside app and cash out anytime at the pump to your bank account, to PayPal, or get an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Again, that's Get Upside app, and that promo code for 50 cents off per gallon on your first fill-up is Touchdown.
All right, guys, back now. Crossover Thursday here in the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Giants, Locked On Washington Football Team. David Harrison and Patricia Traina talking about this Week 18 matchup, this final game between these two divisional foes and the final game for each for the season because it's over after this. No matter what, win and go home, lose, you still go home. It doesn't matter what is going to happen. Patricia, let's talk about quarterback. Let's just dive right into it, right? Daniel Jones, we talked earlier in the season. The conversation during the offseason was all about this is the prove-it season for Daniel Jones. Like Baker Mayfield looks to be going into his prove-it season next year if the Browns don't make the playoffs especially. This kind of was that season for Daniel. I'm looking at mock drafts because, again, Washington season is over after this week. And right now the New York Giants have two picks in the top 10, potentially getting better depending on how the rest of the season wraps up. But I haven't seen a lot of quarterback going to New York in those top 5 picks. The one they have is 5th right now. One is 8th. I've seen edge. I've seen offensive linemen. I haven't seen quarterback. Does that mean the Giants are sticking with Daniel or does that mean they're going veteran or, I don't know, Mike Glennon?
Oh, gosh, no. No, if they go with Mike Glennon, I think you're going to see a revolt. Oh, my gosh, no. I think the reason why you don't see quarterback is twofold. Number one, you got to fix the offensive line. All right? Until that is done, I don't want to talk about quarterback. I don't want to talk about receiver or tight end, which is another position they're going to need to redo on that offense. I don't want to talk about running back. Fix the offensive line. That's got to be priority number one. Look, you look at some of the teams around the league who, before drafting their franchise quarterback, you know, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, you can make that argument up there. What did they all do? They put a solid offensive line in place. Then they bring in the young quarterback, and then it just makes their lives easier. And then it's up to the quarterback to do their thing. So the Giants, what I think they're going to do is Daniel Jones will be back next year. All right. Assuming that that neck injury that ended his season isn't career ending, which right now nobody is saying that that will be the case. Bring him back next year. Decline his fifth year option. I would not pick that fifth year option up. If he steps up and he performs, guess what? Now you're in good shape. You know, you've got your long-term franchise quarterback. If he struggles, you're probably going to have another top 10 pick anyway next year. So, or when I say next year, in 2023. Right. So then you can go and get your quarterback if you need to. Because let's face it, right now, is there any consensus on who the top quarterback is in this draft? I think I read different opinions every day as to who the top guys are. So not really a good year, I think, if you're looking for that blue chip, you know, stud quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, quarterbacks get overdrafted every year. That's really no secret. I like guys like Sam Howell. I like guys like Desmond Ridder, but I don't see a slam dunk NFL quarterback out of any of them. And I'm a huge advocate for not drafting any quarterback. If you're a draft quarterback, especially that high, draft your quarterback. Don't just go get a quarterback for the sake of getting a quarterback. So if the Giants don't see, you know, the next franchise quarterback out there, then yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You got guys like Evan Neal coming out of Alabama, Tyler Linderbaum. I mean, you can get both of those guys arguably in the top 10 and really set your offensive lineup for success, no matter who the quarterback is. And then, I don't know, maybe go get a Jameis Winston. I'm very familiar with Jameis. Let Jameis and Danny Dimes battle it out. Either way, you're going to be entertained. No matter which quarterback you end up with, you're going to be entertained. And that's what you pay for when you buy that ticket. So I like that answer. And look, you know, you drafted a kid in the first round. There's nothing wrong with giving him his entirety of his first contract to go figure it out. And like you said, if it does get figured out, then you're basically good to go. And honestly, you're going to be able to pay Danny a little bit less than you're probably going to pay him. You know, if he had two great seasons coming off his rookie contract versus one, you're saying, yeah, but look at those other four, Dan. So let's not get too crazy with breaking the bank here. Save a little bit of money on that second contract. Maybe go get yourself some other players. And like you said, if Danny Dimes proves that he's not worth the offensive line investment that you just gave him, you're probably picking in the top 10 and you can go get yourself maybe another blue chip quarterback. And hopefully this next crop in 2023 will actually have a blue chip quarterback. So let's talk about this game a little bit, Patricia, because the guys are going to play it. They're going to go out there. They're going to punish each other. They're going to punish themselves, and they're going to go out there and they're going to play this football game. And it's going to be a hard fought game. I think we have a lot of confidence in that. The injury report to start off the week is incredibly long. I mean, and you got some important names here. Will Hernandez, Darius Slayton is on there. Andrew Thomas, speaking of offensive line, right? Who do you actually expect to be playing in this game from these guys that aren't like a guy like Dexter Lawrence? Is he going to be able to ramp up as the Giants have him listed fast enough to get back on the field?
I really don't know because, you know, look, it depends on how badly they were affected. You know, Lawrence tested positive for COVID. I don't know if it's the Omicron version of it or the original version. I mean, who can keep track anymore? Now I hear there's another strain that's making its way across the world now. I lose track after a while with all these different strains, but it really depends on how badly he was affected by it. It is a lengthy injury report. And, you know, it was funny. We were joking, a colleague and of mine and I were joking about it. They would just be better off at this point listing who's going to play, you know, because that injury report is just ridiculously long. But I'm just taking a look at it right now. I would say probably, if I had to take a guess, and it's interesting because some of these guys are going to get moved to IR. Like Glennon is going to go to IR for sure. Ellerson Smith was just put on IR just a few minutes ago. I think Barkley will be okay to play. Hernandez, I think, should be okay to go. You know, if he's not, it's funny. He's been the only offensive lineman to play all the snaps and hasn't been very good. He hasn't been very consistent. Slayton, he has a shoulder injury, COVID ramp up. At this point, I don't know if I would play him or not. I think, you know, we didn't get to see them today because they were practicing indoors and we weren't allowed in to see them for the 5 minutes of stretch anyway. So I don't know. I don't have a feeling about Slayton just yet. I think Thomas will be okay. Tony, I need to see what he does tomorrow, meaning Thursday. We record this on Wednesday, obviously. I need to see what he does on Thursday. So I think the jury's still kind of out on a lot of these guys who were listed as limited. As far as the ones that were listed as did not participate, Glennon obviously is not going to go. I think Austin Johnson will go. I think, let's see, Colin Johnson didn't play last week, so I'm not so sure about this week. Lawrence, remember, they said, you know, not injury related, personal COVID ramp up. I wonder if he got stuck in the bad weather on Wednesday. So really kind of hard to say, if I'm being honest with you. It was a walkthrough, and this was a projected injury report. And I think on Thursday, we're going to really have a better idea who's going to be available and who's not. But, you know, at this point, look, I hate to call this like an exhibition game, but it's almost like an exhibition game because, you know, what's it, win or lose, you're going to go home at the end of the day anyway. So you might as well just maybe get some of these other guys who haven't had a lot of snaps and see what they could do.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, absolutely. And you kind of mentioned it when we were talking about on the other side of this crossover about Dave Gettleman. And you know, I cover the Buccaneers, so I'm familiar with Dave Gettleman from his time with the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, you're more familiar with him than I am, even from my days in the NFC South with him being the GM of the New York Giants. I guess let's do it on a 10 scale, right? 10, he's out of the door no matter what happens on Sunday. 1, it's all hooey and it's all, you know, media trying to stir up headlines like we like to do, like people say we like to do. How much in danger is his job? And then Joe Judge, how much in danger is his job, if at all?
Dave Gettleman is out after this game. Yeah. There is no doubt in my mind that he's going to announce his retirement. I don't think the Giants are going to term it as a firing. Mm-hmm. Everybody I talked to, it's been reported all over the place. I've heard things. Everybody says that Dave is out. Yeah. Now, the question is Judge. Now, from what I have heard, I don't want to say he's safe because he's not 100% safe. Certainly, you know, if you had asked me this like 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would have said, oh, he's safe. He's coming back. But you look at how the team has lost. You look at, you know, some of what's been said and what's been done. And if you're Giants ownership, you cannot, in my opinion, you cannot say to the next GM, well, we're going to, you know, let you do what you need to do to fix the roster. But, oh, you've got to keep Joe and you've got to keep Daniel.
Yeah.
No, you've got to say to that GM, whoever he or she might be, you got to treat him like George Young and say, look, we're hiring you to fix this mess. Mm-hmm. Do what you got to do and you'll have absolutely no interference from us as to what you keep, as to who you keep, what you do, and so on and so forth. And I think if the Giants can do that, then we'll have to see. I mean, look, with all due respect, I like Joe Judge as a person. Mm-hmm. And I was very optimistic that he might finally put an end to this revolving door of coaches.
Right.
But that said, and I recognize the injury situation. I also recognize, you know, the COVID challenges and stuff. Everybody's got that, though. So what I look at is how well is this team prepared to play? And we keep hearing about the culture. We keep hearing about how great they practice. We keep hearing about how tight they are. La-di-da. They could be singing Kumbaya every week, all right, every day in the locker room. Yeah. I don't care. I want to know, why isn't it translating to the field? Yeah. If you're practicing as well as you claim you are, if you get along like brothers, shouldn't that translate over to the field? You know, and you see, you know, the special teams, for example. Before Joe Judge got here, you know, the special teams were pretty good. They've gotten worse since he's gotten here, which is a damning statement for a guy who was a special teams coordinator for Belichick up in New England.
All right.
So you see the discipline issues, you know, and I'm talking about on the football field, mind you. I'm not talking about, you know, off the field. Mm-hmm. You see the mistakes that are being made, stuff that's still going on here in week 17, week 18 of the season. And you sit there and you say to yourself, what in God's name is going on with this team that they can't get their act together? So I won't sit here and say that Joe Judge is 100% safe. If I had to put a percentage on it, right now I would say maybe 85 to 90, mm-hmm. but that number's going down and down with each embarrassing loss. And quite honestly, your ownership, you know, I know they don't want to have to pay another coach off. Because I think Joe got a 5-year deal. I'm not sure if it's a 4 or 5-year deal, but either way, they would have to pay him off next year if he's not here. And they don't want to have to keep doing that. I get that. But let the new GM make that decision. Don't say, okay, you've got to keep these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the best attitude to go into it with it. You can't bring in a new GM, like you said, tell him to fix the entire mess, but then force him to also fix the mess with parts of the problem. And Coach Judge, for what it's worth, from my angle, certainly talking like a guy who's feeling the pressure and isn't so secure in his own job security. So we'll see what happens. And I know, I mean, for the GM community, like John Dorsey with the Cleveland Browns and Dave Gettleman with the New York Giants, two guys who got second chances at being general managers. And that doesn't usually happen in the National Football League. So I know a lot of guys are kind of looking at them, say, hey, look, show everybody that you can do it twice and you can be successful the second time around. John Dorsey's already out of a job and Dave Gettleman, you know, not going very well. So may not see a second time around GM come again very, very, very soon. So that being said, Patricia, again, kind of an exhibition game, right? A lot to do about the future. And I know that's where our conversation has really shifted on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Sounds like that's where it's shifted on the Locked On Giants podcast. Hard to predict a winner because it's hard to predict, again, who's going to play, how long they're going to play, and all these things. What we do know, of course, is that I appreciate your time. And I'm sure that we both appreciate the fan bases for struggling with these fans and for sticking with us as we struggle to give them encouragement to continue following each of these teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I get it. I know my listeners don't want to hear about games anymore. It's like, the season's over. What's the point? And I get it. And look, guys and gals, we made it this far. Yeah. We only have a few more days to go before it's all done. And then over at Locked On Giants, our schedule opens up as far as the topics we can cover. I'm sure it's the same thing for you over at Locked On Washington. Mm-hmm. We'll turn to the future, but it's been a rough one. And I just want to say to my listeners, thanks for sticking with us. I know some of you are like, you know, oh, I don't want to hear about the crossovers. We have to do them. You know, I've told people we have to do them. They're on our schedule. We have to do the game reviews. We have to do the Twitter Tuesdays, all the stuff. But starting next week, I know we're going to open things wide up. And look, I don't know about you, but I'm putting a heavy emphasis on the future, free agency, the draft, the salary cap, looking at some of the problems, obviously following the GM search when that gets underway and whatever other surprises might pop up. But here's hoping things get better because, you know, it's been rough. And I'll tell you something real quick before we sign off here. I actually changed my Twitter avatar because I'd been going with the same one for most of the last decade. And I said, you know what? I'm going to change it up and see if maybe that doesn't help. So I have a new Twitter avatar that I like. And I'm hoping that with that brings better luck for everybody.
Hey, whatever it takes to get it done, right? And I mean, they say the draft starts in Mobile, right? Patricia, you're going to be at the Senior Bowl?
Don't know yet.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be in the Senior Bowl. So hopefully if you're down there, we run into each other. We get to hang out and watch some football, evaluate some prospects that could help each of these teams get better. But like you, Chris and I appreciate our listeners as well. Again, we know nobody really wants to talk about who's going to win or who's going to lose because it's pretty much all bad news no matter where you cover. But we do appreciate everybody sticking around. And Patricia, we'll talk again during the offseason, of course, and look forward to 2022 where both these teams will come in with Super Bowl aspirations, of course. All right, guys, that was this week's Crossover Thursday episode here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Again, I'm David Harrison. I was joined by Patricia Traina of the Locked On Giants podcast. Please give her a follow. And, of course, while you're at it, give me a follow at dharrison82 on Twitter. Follow Chris at WrestleMania621 and the show at LockedWFTPod. Thank you again for making this show your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Chris and I will be back with one more look, one more preview of this final game for the 2021 regular season. We will do that on Friday. Until we speak again, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another. Thank you for joining me right here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.